Hi everyone, we're going to do a bit of a ramble and I'm coming to you from a very wet and windy Ireland, which I love. I love it. I'm just back from work, so I was up at like probably 4:45 this morning and I'm finished now, which is good. I'm going to have some coffee, so let's go make some coffee. I've been drinking coffee for the last week or so in the mornings. I think it's because I'm becoming Americanized, you know. You know, learning the alphabet and stuff. I still have my A, though. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. I know how many people are talking to me about the H. I have to get the H right. So I kind of do it like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. You know, like chim chimity, chim chimity, chim chim chiru. I do's what I likes and I likes what I do. Something like that. Anyway, moving along to the coffee. Yeah, so I've been having it every morning and it's been really nice. I'm finally feeling a lot better. I'm like back to 100%. I was kind of under power still since that pneumonia. And I still have a little bit of a cough, but it's really cleared up, like it's really going. So, you know, I'm making an appearance, but it's going. And yeah, feeling really, really good. So, I need to boil a kettle, don't I? Gotta boil a kettle. So, yeah, and I've got some dark chocolate. Yum, 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 dark vegan chocolate. Have a couple of squares of that and drink some coffee and get a bit of a kind of like a buzz and a bit of pleasure going on my lips. Yum, yum, yum. I'm really good form today. You know, I normally am anyway. It's rare that I'm in bad form. I'm kind of buzzed. And today has been, you know, one of these days when I woke up this morning and I went, yay! Jumped out of bed and went and met my friends and we had a good crack. I had a lot of joke telling and laughing today, a lot of storytelling. My friend kind of knows that I do, one friend, he kind of has interest in what I do. No, a few of them have, but this fella really particularly, he does anyway. But he was saying, I was telling him and I was saying, yeah, I'm going to look for, you know, to reduce my work hours so I can work on audio more. I'm not into like making loads of money, as people know, I'm just into trade. I would like to bring one in line with the other. So that's my door. I'm going to go up my stairs actually while we're here. We have to listen to this. They're making an appearance in every audio. But he said to me, yeah, you leave here and you're finished because this is where the banter is born. And I was like, yeah, he's right. No, we remember all the stories. We speak to each other and we grew up around the same area, which was fairly, you know, it was a rough area, but there's a lot of humour in these places. So we kind of remember all the stuff that happened to us when we were young. And I remember the story, it's about a week ago or so ago. And I know I told one or two of you, I think it was like, yeah, two people maybe. And I told you on Rambles, but it was an interesting one. It was about the time when I nearly died. So I just think it has everything. No, it's not as funny as my last funeral or wedding story. I give away the next one, funeral story. But when I was young, probably about, I would say maybe 9. Sorry, I think it was about, I was about 9 years old. And I used to play with my friend, my neighbour, my next neighbour. And we were big into playing war and, you know, cowboys and Indians and stuff like that, you know, like kids do. And one time he was really into cowboys and he had his own, you know, fort in Fort Wyoming or something. And he did all the model and he did, you know, the attacks and the General Custer and all that kind of stuff. And but then he'd want to play out, you know, play it out in real life. So he's there and I'm the Indian, of course. And he has me arrested because I scalped a few of his buddies up the canyon. And he arrests me, and we're out in our, you know, backyards and backyards, for anyone that doesn't understand me properly. And he's put me on trail, and so he stands me on. He tells me, get up and heed a dog. And I can't give the dog's name, you know, because he'd probably know if he was listening. But heed a dog. And he had the dog's box. And he taught me, stand in the dog's box, that he was, you know, going to hang me because I scalped two of his buddies. And so we're there anyway, and we're doing it. And he's like, you know, you did this, and you're an Indian. And you're, and I always loved being the Indian because, you know, I was kind of conked the culture even at 9 years old. I was like, yeah, I kind of knew, like, the Indians are sound. The Indians are a great bunch of lads, you know. People be talking about the Indians, and they're like, hi, how are ya, hi, how, that's all they were saying. Hi, how are ya, hi, how are ya. So I think they were always kind of nice bunch of guys, you know. And I just loved them. I loved, I used to read a lot about the, you know, their rituals and their history and all that, and, you know, the way they treated nature and all that. So I was really into that, you know. And anyway, so he's there, and he's like, he's hanging me, and I'm the chief, and he puts the rope around my neck, and I'm standing in the box. And it's a fairly high box as well, you know. It's probably like maybe, I don't know, maybe a metre and a half, maybe a metre. And I'm standing on that, and there's like a washing line behind us. So he takes a clothesline and he ties a knot in it, and he puts it around my neck, and he stands me on the, it's like, you know, it's, you know, like a roof, you know, it's shaped, you know, triangular roof. And I'm standing, my legs are kind of at either side of it. And he's like, yeah, you're sentenced to death for, you know, scalping my men, and you will die. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, but I still have my pride. I still have my, how do an Indian voice? I still have my pride. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And next thing he says, he says, you're dead. And I pretend to be hung. And then, like, it's over. So then his mom walks out of her house into the backyard, and then she's like, oh, there my boys are, there my boys. And she's really pretty, she's a lovely woman. And she walks in, she's, there my boys, there my boys. And she's over, and she's hugging him, and she's kissing him. And then she comes over to me, and she says, oh, Gail, she says, and she grabs the rope, and she kind of puts the rope around my neck, and puts a bit of tension, you know, and kind of a, oh, I tell you, I'd use that rope on you, you're so cute. And I'm like, ah, you know, and she's like, I tell you, I would, I'd really use that rope on you, you're so cute. And it was just kind of like, it was weird, but it was like a kind of an affectionate thing. It was like, ooh, you know. And she kind of squeezed the rope my neck, and then she walked away. And I was looking at my friend, and I was like, will I do it for real? And he's like, huh? And I said, will I do it for real? And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, will I act out the scene? You know, as I was trying to say to him, and he's like, oh, and he's kind of a bit younger. He's like 2 years younger, so he's a small bit dopey. And I just jumped off the box. I don't know why. It was like, kind of like to please his mother, you know, to show like that. Yeah, and I don't know. It was just the strangest thing, but I jumped off it. Next day, and then hanging, and hanging there. I sometimes I think I had my hands tied behind my back, and sometimes I don't. I can't remember. I think there might have been, but I was hanging there anyway, and I was like, oh. But I remember kind of breaking free and grabbing the rope, and it was choking me, and I could feel, you know, I was blacking out and stuff. And I'm looking at my friend, and he's just looking up, and he's like, and his mouth is open, and I'm like, and he just stopped, you know, like when you see something horrific and you can't, and he's like, and I look at him, and he just goes, you're going green. It was like, and I was like, oh God, no. I was like, and I just got my fingers into the rope, and I pulled the rope down, and I just said, call your dad. He's like, huh? And I'm like, call your fucking dad. And he just goes, you're like the Hulk. And I was like, oh. So next he just turned and he ran, and he went in and he called his father. So there I am, and I'm kicking my legs, and you know, it's just horrific. Like, I mean, I can still remember it, you know, being 9 years old, and I was hanging, and I was like dying, you know. I knew I was dying, I knew I was going to die. And the funny thing, it was like, I wasn't afraid, I was more caught up in the survival, you know, to survive and all. So I was hanging, and my legs were dangling, and I was like, ah! And next, his father runs out of the house, and this is now on a Sunday, like about 2 o'clock, I'd say, maybe three. It was a beautiful summer's day, and he's wearing this, you know, big wife fronts. He's kind of a small man, you know, and he's kind of balding, and he's got this kind of bare belly and hairs around the bare belly, and he's like, he runs out in the underpants, and all I can do, hanging there, and I just started laughing. I just looked at him, and I was like, and I, laughing and I'm fucking dying, like, and I'm like, I'm still actually trolling, you know, and on my way down and going to leave the planet, and I'm like, ah, I just said, what the hell is he wearing? And he runs out, and he looks, and then he runs back in, and he comes back out again, and he has a carving knife, and he just cuts the rope, and he brings it onto his arms, and he just fell, you know, lifelessly into his arms, and then they caught me, and they put me down the floor, and I was on the ground, and they were pulling the rope down, and they had disinfectants and stuff, and they were pouring them. It was a big crowd around, all the neighbours came in, and then I remember kind of blacking out and coming back, and all I was thinking about when I was on the ground, I could see his dad's head looking at me, and I was like, why had he no clothes on a Sunday at 2 o'clock? You know, it dawned on me, I was like, the dirty bastard. I was like, that's what I was actually thinking. I was like, all I could see was him running out in the underwear, you know, the real, you know, old underwear, you know, the belly, and, you know, and then the mom, you know, I was like, what? It was afternoon delayed, I don't know. But anyway, they saved me, obviously, and I had, like, a lot of scars on my neck, which actually healed. I don't really see them anymore. And I was, you know, people around thought it was a suicide attempt, and I was, you know, 9 years old. I mean, you know, they were going to be wary of it anyway, so that's where I was. People were just talking to me about suicide, and it's not, you know, and I was like, yeah, and I was just too young to defend myself. I just couldn't explain that I wanted to show off, basically, you know, because his mother was a beautiful woman, you know, and she, you know, being a young kid, and it's like, look what I can do, I can really do it, and maybe it was a bit of that in it as well. So I remember being in bed with my mother the next, that night, and I was laying there, and she was like, you know that you're a beautiful boy, and you're my boy, you're my son. I was like, yeah, mom, and she's like, but, like, you have to be really careful with this. You know, you don't want to hurt yourself, and, you know, it's not the right thing to do. And I'm like, yeah, mom. And I'm like, mom. And my voice is like, mom. And she's like, what? Why was he in his underwear? And he's like, oh, no, we'll just, no, but mom, why was he in his underwear on a Sunday? And he's like, no, look, just don't forget about that. No, we'll talk about this. Look, I want my little boy to be safe, and I love my little boy. And I just, and she was crying, and she's like, and I'm still pushing it, you know? And eventually then she just, you know, we let it go, and it was all forgotten about. But that was my brush with that. And, like, when I think back on it, you know, I had everything. I had, you know, the kids acting, then turning real. Then there was, like, you know, it turned really nearly tragic. It actually was, you know, kind of tragic in a way. And then I had the comedy side of it, and looking at his dad, and then them cutting me down and all this, and then the hullabaloo around me, and the big commotion and all that, and it went on. But I really look back at it now, and I laugh because I can just see myself still. All I can remember from it, all I can take from it, is not really fair or anything. It was just hanging there going, what the fuck is he doing in his underwear? And I said, yeah, you're the same, you never change, you know. So it's a nice kind of thought. It's like, yeah, you never changed all these years. It's like, yeah, you're the same boy. So I just wanted to share that one, and I want to go on to, I want to move along onto the ramble thread. Now, I'm going to probably do another ramble maybe Sunday, because it's in New York. There's so much to get through. There's been so much activity, and here's my coffee. Or my dark chocolate. So there's been so much to get through, and you know, it would be impossible. I could make like 50 rambles over what's happening, and I just have to say, can't talk with my mouth full. Maybe I can. I just want to say that I have been laughing my ass off at your humour and wit. It's just, it's so, like, I've been involved in Facebook groups over the years and stuff, and the amount of humour here is just off the charts. I mean, anybody that comes into the group is going to see that. I know that people watching that, you know, that are too shy to comment, as they always say, but you can get, it's just so funny, you know. Gutter puppies, like, oh my god, I nearly fell off my couch laughing at that. And the thing about me, if I find something funny as well, comment, they can keep going through the day. You know, I'm talking to someone at work, and I'm like, and they're like, what are you laughing at? Oh, nothing. So, yeah, it's just so funny, like, to see people. Oh, and yeah, when it comes to me as well, if you want to take the piss on me, I'm fine with that. I'm completely fine. I got a really good kick out of that, because the one thing I don't want is to be taken seriously, like, oh, this, you know, this amazing offer. I just don't like any of that. I mean, it doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't make me happy. You know, people say, I just prefer to get the piss taken on me. That makes me happy. And my dark chocolate. So I have to read the thread. Miss Tina asked me to read the thread. Or the wet audio. Yeah, I'll do that Sunday. I have to read the thread. I think they're sung. Oh my God. The challenges are unbelievable. And yeah, Amanda says that as a lot of kid. It could be, you know, a ramble on its own. And Trish says, please don't make us Americans sound like an old Western movie. Oh, yeah. yeah, that's just my fault. I'm very limited with the American accent. The Southern one is fairly poor, I must admit, but, you know. What kind of cologne do you wear? That's from Wild Sage. Yeah, it could be Hugo Boss or, you know, I really don't mind once it smells nice. I really like cologne, though. I really like, it's one of the things that I like, one of the material things that I like. I like clothes and I like cologne. Now, I don't buy over-the-top expensive stuff at all, you know, but I like to be kind of dressed well, and I like to, I just like look presentable and stuff. But, yeah, I'm not too interested in material stuff, but I do like my cologne. And which brand of tofu do you smell like? Oh, my God. I don't really eat it that much. I might have it every now and again, all right. I might buy some, but yeah, you get some really nice stuff now as well. But yeah, you know, there's so many different types of mock meats and stuff. You don't really need to eat tofu all the time. What's your favourite type of cuisine? My favourite type of cuisine is Indian, I think, because, you know, a lot of it is vegetarian based and it's easy. I like Chinese as well, though. And Indian would be my favourite, I suppose. But then again, like, I can go Italian, I can do anything. Yeah, I really am. Like, I'm not a fan of Irish cuisine. It's kind of a bit harsh for me. I don't really eat it anymore. And I can't really anyway. Ashley B wants a shout out. Hi! Just break my chocolate, but I ain't shouting out. Hi! Oh, that's my new ASMR, look. I just thought it is. The chocolate break. Wait for it, girls. Wait for it. Did that send shivers down your spine? Do this. Does this. Anyway. Wild Sage. How do you make the perfect company? Oh, yeah, 5 tea bags. Oh, my God. No, don't ever have 5 tea bags. Some of us make it pots. We make pots of tea. In Ireland, you'd see that a lot, you know. You go into a house and there's like a pot of tea. Everyone's just taken from the pot. So some people stew their tea they leave it on a bit too long. And it goes really dark and it's really strong. You know, the way some people like coffee really tarry. Yeah, the tea can be like that. I don't like that, though. I like tea because it's kind of more, there's a sweeter flavour to it. I like eating food with tea. So, yeah, I really like tea. But, I'm drinking coffee now, so flexible. And Tiger says, more sex, less rambles. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's good, though. That's good. Aina? Oh, my God, wait. Barnabuff. Oh, I'm sorry, I probably really screwed that up. Aina. Yeah, I go with Aina. I love everything you do. I want to thank you because your audio has helped me through rough times. Oh, that's very nice. I actually got a lot of comments about that as well, and messages, and it's really encouraging to hear that, you know, it's having that effect. I know I had a discussion with one of you about that while I read a mail, I think, and it was, no, I listened to it, I listened to it, and it was like, talking about, you know, the way people are kind of so involved in digital electronics and all this these days, it's just like you're constantly heading the phone and it's iPads and You know what I mean? People don't have any time for each other. And I think that audio is very, I know I spoke about this before, it's like very, it's a very sweet way of bringing back, you know, romance and, you know, hearing someone's voice. I mean, voices are so lovely. I love voices and they love accents. And I walk down the streets, I talked before, and I just get involved in conversations when I'm passing and I'll hear different, you know, tones in people's voices, and it's very musical to me. It's the same with languages. I mean, where I work, they kind of try to stop people from using their native languages. They wanted everyone to use English, and I was very upset over it because I used to love hearing the different languages being rattled off in the mornings, you know. And they tried this thing, like it's a business thing, but what it was is that some people, you know, when you're speaking in a foreign language, they think that you're speaking about you. You know, humans are like that. So if there's two guys in the corner speaking, I don't know, some form of you know, Slovakian language or something, and they're like, oh, he's talking about me, like, or, you know, come on. So to me, like, I don't care if two people are speaking a different language, it doesn't really matter. I don't really, I'm not interested in what they're saying. I just like the sound. I just love the sound of it. So oh, here we go, Miss Tina. Yeah. Oh, repeat the word fuck in different ways for 30 seconds. Okay, I'll try, and I'll try time it as well accordingly. So, fuck, 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 fuck. 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 I don't know if I did that well there. I was probably just like raising my voice, not raising it, but on some kind of silly accent as well. Bobby. Judy asks about Bobby. I'm going to do something nice with Bobby. I think maybe Sunday as well. I've got something to show you all. Oh, yeah, I won't give it away, but it's just something sweet, something simple and sweet. So, okay, so I'll do that. And while Serge, my first kiss. All right, so my one was there was this girl, and she was really pretty. She was really pretty. She's still really pretty, actually. I see her around, and I was supposed to, we call it meet her, or go on a jag of her. You're going on a jag with her, yeah? You're going on a jag, you're meeting her. And I was to meet her, and so all my friends are like, you're going to meet, I can't, you know, my name's, I'd be very careful because I give out names in my accent. And I was saying, yeah, yeah, I'll meet her. And they said to her, yeah, I'll meet her. And she was really pretty as well. She's a really good looking girl. So, you know, not like, when I say that, you know, I saw one thread about, your you know what kind of people you are attracted to, but I'm just so open with all that. Like everyone, like you'd be very surprised at my bandwidth. I see attraction, and it's everywhere. I see attraction, really. But this girl was, yeah, she's a really pretty Irish girl, I suppose you could say. And I ended up meeting her, and my friends were like, "You won't do it," and I was like, "I will do it," and you won't do it, because I was probably about 11, maybe, or 12, maybe a bit younger. And I was like, I will meet her, and I did anyway, and I met her, and we met in this, yeah, it's like a park, and we kissed against this wall, and we were kissing, and I remember the first time, so we had that kind of, you know, that awkward kind of conversation, you know, and then, what class are you in, and then I was looking at him, saying, I'm going to kiss, and she was like, we're going to kiss, and next thing was like, you know, one of these Hollywood movies when your nose is like, each other. So the two of us were clueless. It took me a while to figure out that she was clueless, so the two of us just turned our head, and we kissed, and I'm telling you, it was like, it was just a high for me, and I heard a buzz as well, which was very strange, and everything went silent, so I couldn't even remember the kiss, so it was like a bzzz, and then, like, my body started shaking. It was really electric. It was like something switched on, you know, and it was like, it lasted for probably, I don't know, it could have been like 2 minutes, but it seemed a bit short because it was kind of timeless, so it was like, bzzz, and it was over, and I was like, and I was looking at her, and I was like, oh my God, my knees were weak, and she was like, actually, she was kind of short for me, so she was standing on a milk crate. I had to hoist her up. She was kind of short, so yeah, and we kissed anyway, and I went back, and I went back and I met my friends, and I was saying, and the next day I clicked on that they were actually spying on me. They watched the whole thing and they were telling me everything. So, dirty bastards. But that was my first kiss. But I like to be able to express it a bit. I probably will sometime in an audio, because it was such an event as well, you know. I mean, the first time I had sex was an event, but this was an event that I'd never forget, you know. And a lot of people say that, and I agree with it. It was a powerful event. Sing, oh my god. Sing, oh no, I can't sing. Ashley's asked me to sing. Nah, god, no. I hate singing. Well, anyone hates singing, but just can't sing. So, Crystal C. Best place you've ever been in Ireland? Well, the West is always going to be my favourite and kind of biased there. So, I spent a lot of time up around the mountains. Best place I've ever been would be, I think Croatia would be up there this year. It was like, yeah, it was really, really impressive. I mean, the people were so lovely and it was such a clean place as well, you know. And, you know, like for a country, you know, that, you know, some of it was torn apart by war, and it's just how they just move on. And, you know, and it was just very impressive. It's a very impressive country, very just lovely people, and I got on so well with them as well. So it would be up there. I like Boston as well, obviously, you know, being Irish. Boston. I'm from Boston. I'm like the Marky Mark. I like the Boston. Saskia. This is a long one. Woke up tomorrow. Would you like to have sexy power? What kind of sexy power would I like to have? I don't know. I really don't know about that. Maybe be able to record, you know, sexual scenarios and stuff and moan and turn people on. Oh, you said besides that. I know, X-rays, I suppose. But that could be kind of horrific then as well. So, I don't know, really. How long does it take me to create an audio? Well, that can happen very quickly. It depends as well. You can click with some people, you know. It's not that you click with people. I think it's like you click with their words or, you know, you're reading what they'll send you. And it's like, the story is kind of building. And then sometimes I can, you know, I like announcing I'm going to do it a bit earlier, maybe today as well, the personal audios, because I can get more of a time to, you know, some of them I can write and like I could actually do off the cuff. And some of them I'm very impressed with. I did one actually, it wasn't for anyone here, but it was an off the cuff audio for, Third Wind. For someone on just to, you know, to his PayPal at him, and I was doing that, and I really wasn't that comfortable with it. But I made an off the cuff audio for about 20 minutes, and I think it was the best off the cuff audio I ever made. I meant it full dialogue. It was like a cop pulling the girl over, and he was a bad cop, and he was a bad sexy cop, and I just thought it was so, like, sometimes when I'm making an audio and in the middle of it, like that one I did with the nightclub, I'm in the middle of it and I know that it's just choose, like, you know, when you hit a tune and fork, there's a resonance, I just know that it's good, you know, I know, and I like, don't make a noise, don't make a word mistake, and I'm really particular, I do make mistakes with words and stuff, but I'm really particular about it. Anything that goes wrong, I kind of like, oh. So, yeah, that one that I made was, I think it was one of probably the best audios I ever made off the cup. No, the audio itself wasn't that good, but it was just that I was able to create a whole scene. And like that one, that nightclub one, what I did with that is I saw the scene, but I didn't practice it. I practiced it once. But what I did is, for the first time I practiced it, I just saw it. I didn't really, you know, I didn't write it down or anything. The start of it's kind of like, you know, laid out a bit. But then after that, like when it kicks in, when he goes home and when he thinks that's all off the cuff. So that it, like the person that I did it for first, and I did it as kind of, you know, as a character to her character, you know, we were kind of sharing ideas, and it would be different, I would say. I would say it's, you know, there's a lot, I don't know because I don't listen back, but I would say there's a lot of word choices definitely are different, and there's probably some of it was, you know, some things that happen and it would be different because it would be different every time. So someone asked me before to make audios and to, you know, if I was making a personal audio, and I would just say for Miss Tina because I'm looking at her now, and so I'd make the personal audio and then I'd say like, I'm lying in bed, Miss Tina. You know, like, overdub it, and then, I'm lying in bed, Ashley. And it's like, you know, go away. You know, I'm not going to do that. I want them to be personal. I want the person to feel like they're made for me. I want them to be special. No, they're not always going to work. You know, you're going to get one of it off me eventually and go, it didn't really work. But, you know, there's always a chance that will happen. But there's such a big chance that it won't happen because it's personal. I'm not saying it's personal as I want to know your full name, date of birth, address, and, you know, and none of that. But I want to, like, get into your mind a little bit. Sometimes I can hit, like, you know, on different points that, you know, that I pick up. I'll just pick up them, you know, kind of, you know, maybe through some form of cold reading or something, whatever. And having said that, then as well, I'm really relying on the female mind, and I'm learning so much about that. You know, I thought I knew a bit, but I'm getting a big education in that, a huge education. That's why my audio is changing, because I'm in tune and listening and listening all the time. So, as regards rating them, I've like probably 4 now in my head at the moment, and one of them is coming into it's coming out into reality, and it's making itself more. You know, it's like that one, that nightclub one, I made half at first, and then I made it was kind of, you know, building and building and building, and then I came up with this one. This next one is kind of, and then I can have an idea, and I talk to someone, and they'll tell me something like, whoa, that's the same, blend it with that one, and that happens as well. So, if I wasn't an audio artiste, what would I be doing? I would love to write comedy scripts, but I want to be a co-writer. Same with songwriting. I'd like to write songs, but I don't think it'd be very hard for me to find someone that's, like, I worked with some songwriters and they're very protective or something, or, you know, they don't want to change lyrics. And for me, I don't give a weep. I don't care. I'll just catch a song. I'll throw it into the ground. You know, I'll tear it apart. I don't care about lyrics. Nothing is my own. So, like, I think songwriters and a lot of artists like that are very invested in themselves. You know, they're like, oh, that's my song. It's not your song. It's not. It came through you, but it's not yours. You might put a flavor, you know, a bit of the individual on it, but it's not yours. Like, no matter what you tell me, I just don't believe it. I don't buy it. I laugh. I go, yeah, all right. So if I give someone something and they change lyrics in it, or if I give someone a poem and they change it, I'm just like, yeah, change it. Just mash it up. I don't care what you want to do with it. I want it to sound good. I want people to enjoy it. So for me, I'm just very open like that. And yeah, I'd like to do scripts. I could do movie scripts as well, I think, or dialogue. I could do some good dialogue. I have done that. I've done that before, so... I'd like to get into that, and I probably will eventually, you know, and I'll, you know, I'm going to evolve from Gale Force, and I'm not from it, but I'm going to evolve it and, you know, do some other things. And the sexiness in the crowd room, it's an idea from someone as well, actually, and it's I kind of screwed it up a bit, and I'm sorry for that, but I'm going to redo it, and I'm going to make it more sexual, so I'll fix that. I'm going to just expand some of the comments. Okay, I just go back so you don't miss any of that, because it's just shout out Saskia. And I like questions like that. It makes it kind of interesting. So what do you think of those corners, the sirens? It's just hilarious. I like banter, you know. I mean, having a woman to fuck. You know, again, I'm not going to take this place seriously no matter what. It just wouldn't, you know. And I know people don't. I just know. I have that sense of just joking. And look at this then, the gutter puppies. Oh, my God. Oh, Tina. Oh, God. I tell you, that's just brilliant. And then Christy says, do they like a rough... Gutter puppies, oh my God, it's just so funny. Do I practice any sports? Yeah, there's judo, that's from Jessica Rose. Judo and yeah, weights and stuff like that. I'm gonna go back to judo. I didn't do it for a while. I have a black belt in judo. Cycling, I kind of didn't do it much this year, which is kind of disappointing, but then you can see I was sick and stuff. And but I'm going to run today later on. I'm going to get into running. I'll probably do a half marathon, I think, in a few months' time. I'd like to do one because I'm feeling really good, man. And yeah, pumping iron is my favorite at the moment. But I do weights and just, you know, that's my main activity, really. I just love it and they never stop. And I recommend it as well for everyone that's getting into fitness. If you're getting into fitness, girls as well, you're not going to turn into a bodybuilder, trust me. You just won't. If you want to, you know, if you want to shape your body, weights is way to go. A bar, like, none. It's just the one for you, like. And you just get into it and you learn it, and it's a very interesting kind of, like, even on YouTube there, you have some channels that are just fantastic, and the humour and the wit and everything. But it's a really good pastime. Claddagh rings, yeah, they're still around, in which way is mine pointed? Yeah. I don't have one, so I can't answer that. Claddagh rings are beautiful, Jessica says. Really romantic. Yeah, there's like superstitions around claddagh rings and stuff like that in Ireland, but, you know, old wives' tales and stuff. Do I have to be, Ashley asked, do I have to be in a certain state of mind? Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're, like, turned on, especially, I have to keep myself, you know, when I make erotic audios. Is he, like, people are going to ask that, I know people have asked that question, and I've seen it, I think someone asked me as well, yeah, I did it in a, in order of response, they asked me, how do I keep up with, you know, the erotic side of things. But, like, this week, I think I made 3, and I started on Monday, maybe. Yeah, I meant Monday, and today's Friday, and I have 3 made. So, you know, I could make, like, 2 or 3 of them. I mean, I'm a guy, like... I could make 15 a day if I wanted to fake it, you know. But, you know, for a guy, 2 a day, 3 a day, yeah, this is okay. It's not a big deal. Erotica, yeah, I'd have to be in a real... With the other audios, then I have to be energetic, really. Even if I'm making a sleep audio, I could actually just record like 10 audios now if I, you know, I just want to have that, you know, I want to transmit energy. Even if there's a very important thing as well, if you're making, you know, there's some truck outside. Boop, boop, back it up, baby. But, yeah, I like to be in kind of, you know, even to make a sleep audio, I'll be kind of energetic. I think there's something very important about that. And as well, when I'm making audios about peace, or if I'm making audios about sleep, it's like, I'm a brilliant sleeper. I'm a very peaceful person. I'm not making audios, I'm not lying, you know, I'm not pretending to be someone else. I'm not, you know, it's exactly like a lot of that's coming from, you know, who I am. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means. I'm, you know, I'm human as well. I'm going to get my days, like, I'm going to have my moments, you know. I, you know, like everyone else, I feel everything else. I feel anger, jealousy, you know, all these things come up, but they don't last long. I mean, in fairness, they kind of, you know, boom, and they're gone. And I don't hold on to things. One thing I can't hold grudges and stuff like that. So I have a bit of a problem with resolve. I have to kind of get to the bottom of something, and I have to, you know, I have to kind of get things solved very quickly. You know, I can't, if anyone has a problem with me, I nearly have to go to them and say, what's your problem with me? This is how it is. This is how I am. This is how we fix it. And they're like, what the fuck is he talking about? I just need peace, you know. I don't need to be, because it clogs up my mind and it stops me from being creative. So it gives me a bit of a drain. You know, if someone is kind of, you know, if I have a problem with someone, it can kind of make me very kind of, I need it over, I need it done, because I need to move on. I can't dwell on things. So there's that, and then there's my famous rashness. I'm a very rash human being. I make decisions very quickly, and sometimes they're not the right ones. I know some of you have said that to me already. I'm just kind of like very boom, and you're like, wow, cool down. And like, it's not that I'm, you know, I might come across as fiery, but I'm more like, tell me, you know, I'm very rash. I do things very quickly and off the cuff. Yeah, only some things, as I said before. Any bad habits you have? Posting on Patreon. And that's from Anna. Yeah, my habits have kind of, as I said, I can kind of get a kind of OD the caffeine a tiny bit every now and again. Maybe with Monster and stuff like that. Now, I didn't drink a can of Monster in about a month. But I often went through 3 a week, which is, whoa. But that's the worst thing I ever do. And then it was kind of like, as well, if I was going out with friends or anything, they're drinking, it was kind of like, sure, you know, I'll drink one of those instead of alcohol. And, you know, you know, I haven't said that I didn't drink one in ages, and that's what happens as well. I pick up on things, and then like it's dark chocolate at the moment. It's probably by this time next week it would be like meh, it'd be something else, some kind of biscuit or something. I don't know. So I wouldn't have any bad habits as such. Like there's nothing that's annoying me. You know, there's nothing that I want to get rid of. I don't smoke. I don't drink alcohol. I don't take drugs. You know. Like, I'm partial to the odd space cake, as I said before. I have a space cake every now and again. But even at that, then, I can't really partake in that because it's kind of counter to my energy, you know? If I want to be recording and stuff like that, I couldn't drink and I couldn't smoke weed and I just couldn't. I wouldn't be able to do it because I'm always, like, thinking of a story and always, like, I want to write. This would take my energy away. I'd just be sitting there going, oh man. I would have a very creative mind in it, and I would be thinking, oh wow, but at the same time I wouldn't be able to do it, so it wouldn't, you know, it doesn't really match up. In between rambles, I always think of questions. This is from Amanda. Yeah, and she says, I'm an accent expert. I don't think so. Canadian accent, I'd really need help. All I can do is a beaut. I didn't travel to Canada, but I probably will retire in Alaska. I know that's, so that's where I want to go. I want to hang around with the bears and stuff and drink beers with the bears. And I'd love to go there. I know a couple of Canadian people here, actually. I know one girl. Yeah, she's very nice. Have you ever been interrupted while recording? Yeah, I have been. Yeah, people knocking at my door and stuff, and my neighbours hear me. Hopefully not. I'm in a very quiet area. I'm lucky. Now there can be you can hear the odd, you know, voice and stuff around, but you know, I'm really lucky where I'm living. It's very quiet. It's kind of it's out of the way. And then I go to the west a lot when I'm recording, so that's just peaceful. Like you can just hear the rain there now, but I love that when in recording. I don't care, even if I'm making an audio about the sun, I don't care if the rain is in the background. I love it. Finally, shout out Amanda. Bloopers, yeah, I have some bloopers. I'm gonna put them together. I think some are funny. Like I sneezed a few times. He's like, oh no, you're supposed to sneeze out the other end. Ugh, that's horrible. That's horrible. When you kiss, but you actually, oh, I can't give that away. As I said, I have that Kanye West mannequin, and he is hot. I'm not going to tell you what I do with my Kardashian mannequins. Moving along quickly. I did the deflated soccer ball. Oh my god, that made me laugh. That was so funny. And that was a whale sage. Oh my god. Oh yeah, I actually have stories about that. I was talking to a really big author, and she was telling me that when she spanks her hand like this. And they speak about this, the authors around, they kind of like. So, yeah, I'm not going to tell you what I spank. You mentioned your other job. What do your co-workers? They don't really know that I do erotica. No one really does. They're not really interested, to be honest. Like, I mean, people, I'm not, you know, I'm probably known on the internet a bit, but I don't think I'm too known. And I probably wouldn't be known over here anyway, because, you know, who wants to be Irish and listen to an Irish accent? Yes, the American actors, I suppose, or authors probably have that problem in America as well. You know, they're probably more popular in Europe. Like, I love American accents, so, you know, I listen to a lot of American accents. So it's, you know, do I believe in soulmates? Yeah, I do. What I believe really is, like, for me to, you know, for friends is when you want nothing off each other, you know, when that's all gone, when that falls away, then I want to know, like, are you going to stay together, you know? Are you going to be my friend when I have nothing for you? I mean, I have a friend and he calls to me, and every time he calls me, I answer the door and I say, what do you want now? And he just laughs because he wants something. But it's just, you know, that's the way a human relationship works. So soulmates is, for me, it's more like, you know, I don't need anything from you, you don't need anything from me, but we're here for each other, you know? There's no kind of, like, and there's no ask or there's no want, it's just I'm your friend and that's it. There's no manipulation, like it's kind of a really unsexy thing to me, manipulation, I don't like it. And I don't, I that's why I don't, you know, I try my best not to manipulate people. I don't even have to try really, because I'm just not a manipulator. So I'm not interested in manipulating people. I don't want anything from people. So, you know, to me, and do I believe in aliens, Santa Claus, Bigfoot, global warming? Global warming, I don't know. I mean, we are polluting the hell out of the planet. I watch a lot about that, so on both sides, and I'm very kind of middle-minded. I'm middle ground, they call it, in Buddhism. I'm very like that, so I like one. It's like left and right politics. I can see, you know, like extreme, you know, like far right and not far left, but in between, I can see truths on both sides. So I can't actually place myself in one or the other, but I can see, you know, from either side, I can take what I think is true, and some that I just don't agree with at all. You know, like, you know. The way generalizations made about people and all that is, yeah. So with global warming, you know, I think that the planet is a lot more capable of looking after itself than we think. I mean, like, the planet isn't in danger, you know. Human beings are in danger. And that's just the way it is. I mean, if it gets to the point where it gets too hot, the planet's cool. The planet's fine. So it's the humans are in danger, and I would say that the planet would be fairly okay without humans as well. I think we'll just go extinct eventually anyway, and, you know. Just like the dinosaurs, man. Aliens and Santa Claus. Aliens, I kind of have... My thoughts about aliens are like... I would say there's aliens, but they're probably, you know, like... crabs. They probably look like, you know, insects or worms and stuff. Or, you know, maybe like, you know... But I don't... I would be very... I think with the thinking mechanism of, you know, the way humans think... I mean, I just... To our level of thought and our level of intelligence, I suppose, around religions, I don't know, we're so intelligent. Like, it's, you know, people with, there are people with brains that are just like, wow, intelligent. And it is very possible that we're the most intelligent life form in the universe. It is very possible. For me, it could be that we are. And, you know, with Santa Claus and Bigfoot, I don't know about Bigfoot. As I said, I think I slept the wrong one. But yeah, I heard John Lennon saying before that, you know, about aliens and Santa Claus and all that, that they actually exist. And I know what he meant. He's a very right-brained individual as well, John Lennon. He was saying, like, that they exist in the imagination, so they're real. And I know what he meant by that. He's bang on, in my opinion. Like, but they're not, you know, physical, but they exist in consciousness, is, I suppose, what he was trying to get at. And when he said it, people were like, oh man, your man's a hippie, he doesn't know. But in the end, he's getting at something. My sexual turn-ons. Tatinha. Oh God. Tatinha? 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 Oh my God, why can't you just call me? I'm going to call you Mary. Tatinha. Tatiana. Tatiana! And I'm not even going to try your second name. Oh my God. Tatiana. Hi, Tatiana. Sorry about that car crash there, but what are my biggest turn-ons sexually? I really like, again, it's sensual stuff. Like, it's, I'm not really interested in particular types of women. I'm not, skin colour doesn't matter to me, race, none of that matters to me. It's like, for me, it's more, you know, it's femininity, it's just woman, it's just, you know, I just love women. So it's not really a type. I'm not interested in nerdy women, I'm not interested in and at the same time I am, because it's just, you know, it's a whole, so I'm very open to that. Like, my turn-ons would be like lingerie, touch, kissing, lips, and you get to, like, you know, you see porn movies and you see people, you know, fucking, but like when I used to watch porn, I found myself watching the very start of the porn movies. It was like the first 3 minutes when the girl is like walking along with the lingerie and she's teasing and she's kissing, and I'm like, oh, now that is what you just need to do like 30 minutes of. It's not like, you know, here we go, boom, 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 boom. But I have noticed that there are some porn movies that are starting to appear that have a lot of, there's a lot of sensuality coming back into it. So if people, someone has a brain, they're somewhere and is saying, right, if we're going to do this, let's make it, you know, touch each other again. You know, and you see in porn movies and they're having sex and there's one hand on the girl's ass and your man is kind of like throwing 1/58 of his cock inside her and he's like, oh, and you're like, fuck off, go away. And he's not touching her. You know, there's no hands in it. You know, if you notice that, there's no, like, sex is all hands and, you know, run your hands up body, and I try to express that as well. I try to get, I should do it a lot more, get more handy, handyman. But you know, I just touching and, you know, squeezing and grabbing and kissing and, you know, to really get into the kind of, you know, the meeting of the two energies of boom, there's a collision, there's a bang. You know, it is atomic, like it is, sex is atomic. It's not looking at two people on the screen, you know, that are prettied up and, you know, come on, like, come on. So my turns would be really kind of, yeah, that way, kind of like, you know, just listen to a Marvin Gaye album is probably something like that, you know. Do I play an instrument? Yeah, guitar. But I didn't, you know, as I say, I kind of really rusty, you know, I need to pick it back up. And I've said this before, I need to really pick it up. I mean, and I've been offered lessons and I'm supposed to go, and I go, and the girl that offered me is just, she's just amazing. She's a brilliant musician. Just to bring me on a bit, you know, to the, that was my spiritual experiences. Oh, hang on, the last question was by, no, it wasn't Amanda. Go back up. Limor? Yeah. Amanda serenade us with a special song. I know a song that gets on everybody's nerves. Emlyn? I remember hearing that ramble that you used. Oh, talking about my spiritual experience. Yeah, I'm going to do a ramble on that. I don't really like talking about it because I think, like, it kind of, I don't know, there's something about it. I spent a lot of time in there and I speak to some people that are kind of calling and then they go, oh, God, no. For me, it's like, oh, I don't know, it's a subject that kind of gets, I don't know, it's just, Abraham Hicks, yeah, I know Abraham Hicks. But yeah, for me, it you know, the self-help stuff and all that, for me, when I really looked at it, like, in the end, what happened to me was a spiritual search is the problem. In the end, for me, it was like, you know, for a lot of alcoholics, if they're drinking alcohol, alcohol is the problem. When you look at the alcohol, when you look at the drug, what it does to you, it dehydrates you, it gives you that buzz, so you want more, you want to consume more, and it's a loop, and then you're sick the next morning, like the alcoholic will wake up and he'll even drink aftershave, you know, to get out of that, you know, that the sickness that the alcohol created in the first place. So that's, it's like a heroin addict is the same, it's the same loop. So for me, spiritual seeking, and I had a different form of spiritual seeking from most people, you know, I was just very inquisitive, so I got really to the point where I actually just, I ended up in bed for a few months and I was just useless. Nihilism and I had all that. I just, like, I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to exercise. I didn't want to live. I was just, boom, I was worn down by it. I was crushed. And when it fell away, what happens is when the search falls away, when the whole seeking falls away, there's an influx of energy then back into the body. So, boom, because you're not spending your time with these questions, you know, why are we here? Who am I? All these questions just, they fade away. So you become a really alive kind of, you know, energetic person that, you know. And again, like, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I just kind of, you know. Mimi says, talk about my journey into veganism. I kind of, like, all through my life when I was, you know, when I was given meat to eat, I never really liked it. So I'm one of these vegetarians that, you know, I'm naturally a vegetarian. My body is like, it rejects, you know, and eat. If I put meat in my mouth, it's kind of, I don't like it. It's not like, oh, I'm so moral, I don't want to eat meat. It's like, I don't like it, you know. So it was easier for me. I can see that there are a lot of vegans and vegetarians that they just do it out of moral reasons. But I really admire them because I didn't really have that problem. I just, for me, it was just, but I did work in, I was about maybe, about 19 was when I really started kicking in. I worked in a slaughterhouse. I was working in air conditioning in the slaughterhouse, and we were up in an attic, and we were, you know, we were contractors. We'd go around and we'd fix cladding and lagging and all this kind of stuff. And I worked in an attic there, and we'd see the cows being brought in, and, like, I was, you know, I'm very, you know, kind of aware person anyway, and I just watch it. Like, human beings are very weird, like, with animals. They don't really see that they're, you know, that they're conscious, they're living, they have feelings, they have thoughts. They're just like us, they're just not as advanced, they're not as I suppose, I haven't said they're not advanced, they're probably more intelligent. Then it's the same way. I always say that, you know, animals are probably more intelligent. They don't go around killing each other and bombing each other and stuff. But anyway, I was in the attic and they were like, the animals would be slaughtered at some time, like 3 o'clock in the day, and they're smelling down at the moment. Fucking God. And at the time I wasn't, you know, as I said, I wasn't, I flirted with, you know, vegetarianism all my life, but it was, you know, because I just didn't, you know. But I was in Ranimer and I was like, oh God, this is, it was horrible. But one of the things that got me in the end was when we'd be in the attic, and we'd have to clad the pipes, so like there was liquid hydrogen in the pipes, so they'd freeze all the cladding and the lagging and all that. So we had to wait until the thaw came, and when the thaw would come, when the thaw would come, when the animals would come in, I think, to be killed. And when the thaw would come, then before the thaw, it would just be full of blue bottles, you know, these flies, blue bottle flies, it was full in the, and they'd be landing on us, and you're like, oh, you know, because they're you know, they're actually from tallow maggots. And then when the pipes would thaw and we'd have to clad it, they'd be gone. You wouldn't see one blue bottle, they'd go down and they'd feed, you know, so it was like a big, it was horrible. And I remember like the smell stayed in my nose then for, I think, like maybe 6 months. And I just could not eat meat for maybe, I'd say it was probably about a year and a half. And the guy with me, he was a bit older than me. He was probably in his 30s. And he gave it up as well. He couldn't. And we were just, you know, I was just ruined. I was like, oh, the whole experience just turned me upside down, you know, as a person. I was like, oh. And I, like, you know, there are people now listening to this and not trying to, you know, force any kind of, you know, way of living on anyone. That's not my style. My style is more, I'm more of, you know, I live by example. You know, someone comes to me and say, you look very fit, or how do you, and I'm saying, oh, and what do you eat? Oh, this is what I eat, and this is what I do. But other than that, I'm not going to preach to people. I'm not going to be on YouTube saying, I'm a vegan, and you all should be a vegan. And I have a lot of thoughts around that. And I can see, like, in the vegan community on YouTube at the moment, like, I mean, the stuff that's going on there is just ridiculous. Like, I mean, they're losing the plot there. It's all about money. It's all about getting your YouTube channel known. It's about permanent vacations, you know, drinking smoothies and living in Thailand. And it's like, you know, you're losing the whole, if you want to go down that road, you should be more, you need to you know, focus on, you know, on the animals themselves. And like, they seem to lose that. It's like an egoic thing takes over, and it's but for me, like, as I said, I'm never going to be, it's not, you know. And if someone comes to me and they're like, oh, you should, like, someone did say to me on YouTube, you should be standing up, you should be, and I said, look, In my mind, I'd explain it like this. I am like an expression of humanity. So in me, it's finished. I don't need to do anything else. You know, I'm already an expression of humanity. So, like, you're not going to come to me and tell me I should this and I should that. Because, like, at the same time, I know a lot of people that are not vegan. They eat meat, and there's some of them that I know that are just like, ooh, they're so compassionate. They're just living Buddhas. Like, I mean. So you can't really, you know, can't look at someone and say, oh, you eat meat. You know, because everyone, you know, 95% of people ate meat. So I have this saying that I made up. It's that he who is without sin cast the first bone. Yeah, that's what I made up. So I'll leave it at that. What's your perfect day? I'm very quiet. So perfect day is quiet, like this. Just quiet, drinking coffee. You know, I like feeling relaxed. I like when my body feels good. Like right now, I feel kind of warm and fuzzy, and you know, so that's my perfect day. I have a lot of perfect days, to be honest. But like, then again, you know, I kind of like, I'm just one of these people that, you know, you meet them. I work with some, they're just really happy, and you know, we have good times. And if you learned another language, what would you choose? Well, that was from Maya anyway. Perfect day. From Ashley B, if you learn a language, what would you choose? I'm quite, with German, I know I'd learn German very quickly, and French I would as well. I was very good at French in school, but, you know, I kind of lost it as I'm kind of picking it up now again, different languages and stuff. Because I know I'm better at languages than than I would be at maths, or, you know, I mean, my words, I struggle even when I'm typing. I have the, you know, dyslexia, so I'm kind of like, words can change in my eyes and I can get kind of confused by them. So I'm not the best with words and stuff like that, but with languages, I like, it's weird. Like, I like languages, then it's some part of my brain, but I love philosophy as well. So I think it's all kind of, so are the scenarios uncomfortable?